right, well, we will get started. Folks may come, this is great. We got the long straw and got the balcony. Not that the dining room is any issue at all, but it's a very nice location, I think. But, anyway, let us open up to 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to start in verse 14. This is not only fitting class for this class this morning, but it's also fitting for actually what we're beginning these 3 weeks from the front. So that's great. So let me read that. I'm going to read into chapter 4. Look at it with me. 3:14 to 4:5. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving, by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Dustin, will you open us up in prayer?
Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you today for the opportunity once again to come together as a group, Lord, to study further in your word. We thank you for this opportunity now, Lord. We pray that the time spent would be to your glory, Lord, to our edification. Pray now that you'd be with the pastor and the teachers as they bring forth your word. Give them boldness, Lord, and give them accuracy. We pray this now in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So let us begin. In terms of why you're here and what this is. So this is Foundations of the Faith. So let's consider what is Foundations of the Faith. Now, I know this is very confusing because we have three titles that begin with F. So we're like, I mean, fundamentals or foundations or frameworks. So we slow it down, and hopefully, for me, I'm a simple guy, so hopefully this is helpful from a guy that can't really... Don't want to get too complex with these things. So, Foundations is the name of this slot, 9 to 10. It's the name, like, overall, what is happening at Westmount from 9 to 10 is Foundations of the Faith. Now, Foundations of the Faith, right, when you think about that, we're going to talk about the other class going on in a moment. I just want you to think about that. That is the ministry name for what's happening between 9 and 10. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm in fundamentals or frameworks, we'll come back to that. But this is just Foundations of the Faith, right? We're equipping teaching. It's equipping class ministry at Westmount to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. Of course, there's two different vehicles going on at this time, and we'll get back to that. But I want you to know that's the purpose of this slot from 9 to 10, is equipment, Now, this is important. It differs in purpose. What's going on now between 9 and 10? It differs in purpose and often in content to our midweek evenings together. We gather Wednesday evenings at 7 a.m. We'll sing, we'll pray, and we'll do a study. But often that is, and if you've been there, you know this, this is equipping the doctrines of the faith. Wednesday evening, we take the doctrine and we apply it. I can give you one example. On Wednesday, we're opening up midweek gatherings, and we're going to talk about education. Got a lot of people asking questions about, should I put my kids in public school? What about the education system? Right? We have some that know that. I mean, Mike, you understand what's going on there, right? We understand. We need to be, as Christians, understanding how do we apply, even based on what we just read, the Word of God to education. You see the difference there? So this is more, what are the doctrines of the faith? And then when we talk about midweek, it's applying those to things like education. Come on in there, Adrian and Rachel, it's great. Here are just examples of topics that we cover, right? Just to give you an understanding. We've done like spiritual disciplines. We've tackled the wellness movement with a life well lived. How do you interact with that? thinking through things with a Christian worldview. Here's a big one. People will read the news, right, oftentimes, and they're thinking, how do I process this information, right? So we talk about the mind of Christ and what that looks like. And then culture and counterculture. The idea that, and I think we can lose sight of this because everything today is being preached as an authority, right? Have you ever noticed that when you read the news? It's being preached as an authority to you. Well, the idea that as Christians we are countercultural doesn't mean there'll never be some symmetry between what we believe, especially if it's a morally good thing. But we need to understand culture and counterculture. So I say all that to say you understand these are categorically different to what's going to go on in this room today and what's going on downstairs. So why Foundations of the Faith? I need some readers here. Someone who wants to grab Colossians 1:9 for me. Jerry, thank you. Hebrews 5:11-14. Dylan, excellent. And Ephesians 4:11-14. Clay, lovely. You guys are firing this morning. This is great. So when you're ready, let's read them. We'll make comment on each briefly, but go for it. Colossians 1:9.
And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
So what's Paul's prayer and his heart for the Colossians there? What do you see? Look at it, Colossians 1:9. What's his heart for them? What did he just say? What is his prayer?
They'd be filled with the knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah.
And understanding.
And understanding. I mean, this is important. Is it wrong to pray for material things? No. Could he be praying for material things with a wrong heart? Absolutely. But what is the prayer? And this is where, as we set the tone for this class, I pray, and listen, I need you to know, it took me a while to figure this out. Pray for wisdom. Jason, if you need one thing, and listen, still to this day, is that you grow in the wisdom and understanding of who God is. Yeah, but I have a kid coming on the way, right? Yeah. God's going to figure that out, right? God's going to figure that out, right? Well, we're looking for a house. What about a house, right? We need that. God's going to figure that out. If you grow in the wisdom and understanding of who God is, wisdom is applying the Bible and who God is to all of life. Paul recognizes, and do you ever notice that with the Colossians? Have you ever noticed? He doesn't get into the weeds. What is he saying? He's praying for their holiness. He's praying that they would grow in the understanding of the Lord. So how do we map it to why you're here? Why did you get up earlier today? As a help class to grow in the wisdom and understanding of our... Okay, Colossians 1. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5.
Concerning him, we had much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern both good and evil.
So what's the author of Hebrews, what's he saying to these Hebrews here? What's his admonishment to them? What's he saying? Sum it up for me.
We need a revision of their teaching.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
I just need to be taught again in a sense because it's become dull and...
Yeah. There's a sense where, and the admonishment, Dylan, that's good. That shouldn't be the case. The book of Hebrews, the title gives it away, is written to Hebrews, right? That would profess Christ. In one sense, he said, you guys should know this, right? You guys should know this. I was exposed to this. I remember when I went down to seminary, I was all fired up. I didn't know a thing. I went down there, I'm like, I love Jesus. I want people to love Jesus. And I get down there, and I was in a very nominal church for a while, and I realized there were things. I'm looking at a syllabus. People are talking about an economy. I had no clue. I wasn't at churches that trained me to understand. You should know these things by now. Where someone came to me and asked me something about Reformed theology. And don't worry if you don't know what that means now. Like, I don't know. I need to grow every day. And not that you're going to learn those things in this class. What does that even mean, as you interact? Well, it's speaking to teachings that are in the Word. So we don't want to, and hence we see people that are new in the faith, right? Maybe you've been in the faith for a bit. Maybe, I think about Benio's Engelhardt, who's here taking the course again. We need to do that. We're going to talk about that more and more. We cannot get dull of hearing. And look what he says, if you still have it open. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Christians, you should be not exhausted every day, but you should be using a muscle that we're not taught in the church to use. I was there. Are you using your discernment every day? Yeah, I really am attracted to that program. It has things that I really like. Are you discerning if that's a good program for you? This person seems like a good colleague that I could, you know, maybe share an extra lunch with or two. Are you using your discernment with that colleague? We need to, am I applying the Word of God to all aspects of my life? Or is my Bible reading and my church, this 1.5 hours a week, in a compartment? And then when I leave, I can go and do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. This is why this course is important, right? It's what it's doing, it's stretching so we don't get atrophy in our muscles, that we walk out and Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday we're using that muscle. I mean, Dustin, I look at you and I think about how well we've seen Team Ulog do that, using that now in everything. Dustin and I were talking about the situation he's dealing with at work and just applying this principle. It's amazing to see. That's what we're talking about. And wouldn't you say, brother, the peace, the knowledge of God has increased. The peace in Dustin is increasing. That's what we're talking about. Okay, Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. I forget who is reading. Is that you? Yes. Yeah, go for it, brother.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful scheming.
There was this past week I was reading of a female Christian author who has deconstructed. Some of you probably know who that is, and most famously now, and photos of her all over now with the pride stuff on her shirt. I was reading in some quarters, how could this happen? Right? How could this happen? We know, and those, again, I don't want to get into who this individual is and all of those things. I was just thinking, months and years ago, those testing their powers of discernment, those not tossed to and fro would have said, yeah, I can see this coming a mile away because of the departures, etc. Right? What is Paul talking about here? That we wouldn't be tossed to and fro, that we wouldn't be in confusion when that happens and say, how can this happen? Right? We know the Word of God. We know what it teaches, and we know what happens when we depart. But even more, look what he says here. The saints are equipped for the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the church, by the way, right there. What's the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church, right, is to build up the saints for the work of the ministry. Until, what's the terminus? Look at verse 13. We all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And then he continues, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. In one sense, we could say it this way, till we get to that point, which we'll never arrive at, right, to this side of glory, which is an understanding of our Lord, growing in the knowledge, and a unity in it. That is almost like a moving carrot on a stick in one sense, a good moving carrot on a stick, right? And that is why, whether you're here for the first time or you're returning, we need to over and over again. We absolutely have to. Does that make sense, guys, so far? Are we tracking together? And this is not just to justify my existence or yours at the beginning of a class. This is, I pray you see, this is the stuff we should be doing fundamentally regardless. I think back to my early church experience, it just wasn't happening at all. At all. So we care very much about that here and want to teach and equip you as you encourage one another. All right, let's get back to foundations. And so on that, then, what is happening here? Because we're all at different stages, right? In our walk. Ben, you just walked in, right? First time in class. You guys have been in class multiple times. I think Vaynios, Engelhards, you might be on fifth time or sixth time taking this course, right? We're all at different parts, right? So that's why we need two classes in foundations. So what you're in right now, yes, is fundamentals. That'll be the moniker that we use, and you know when we say fundamentals is in this location, we're doing this with fundamentals, that's what we're doing. It's a core course at Westmount. It's the base layer that helps the Christian in his or her pursuit of knowledge and understanding. We just looked at that, right, in Colossians 1:9. It is a simple, accessible, we would say foundational, systematic theology class. What do we mean by systematic theology? Just a brief nutshell when you hear that term. You're systematically taking doctrines and going into them. The doctrine today of the Bible, let's go in. The doctrine of God the Father. The doctrine of Jesus Christ, right? To go through and look at the Bible that way is called system. You see how it's systematic, doctrine by doctrine. You'll hear, well, what's biblical theology? And sometimes you'll see that I'll teach that way from the front, right? It's starting in Genesis, working through Revelation, progressively, what is the Bible revealing? And what do we see throughout, going through the Bible as it is? That's biblical theology, right? You see the difference between the two. So in this class, it's systematic theology. It allows us to take a doctrine and jump in, which we're going to do today with the doctrine of the Bible. So that's fundamental. And again, questions? Folks, just raise your hand. Slow me down, which is good. What's going on downstairs? Not some secret thing, right? Some of you know. It's another class, right? I wouldn't even say an advanced class. I mean, we like to blow this stuff up here at Westmount. Not tears. No one's arrived. No one's there. But there's a logic to this. It's a next step course taking place in this slot. The next layer after fundamentals. Both courses are open to all. We don't have Ryan Black checking your ID as he came up there to make sure that you're... Well, it may feel that way, right? So many people be like, oh, you're so rigid. And then, we're not. We love you to say this is what you should... maybe, possibly, what we really think so should be doing, given where you're at. It's logically, frameworks is designed for those having fully completed the fundamentals course. We have flame-out stories of people that show up in frameworks. I can tell you with what's going on down there. You got Dr. Joy down there. Let me tell you right now. There are people that are like, man, I just can't even keep up. And not because he goes so fast sometimes. Sometimes it's the fundamentals aren't clear. That's what I'm saying. We want to help you. Before you're exposed to that and some of the other teachers, it's just good to settle and understand that. Yeah, Dustin.
Well, it's really no different than the chapel kids downstairs. We don't allow the young ones to be in the older class. They're older to be the young ones.
Excellent.
They're in the correct position.
Yeah, and you would say, brother, that's really good. There's a logic to that. It's just logical, right? We understand it. I think in our society, insert rant, where participant ribbons and everyone needs to be equal and no man left behind, we just chafe at that, don't we? I need to be there. And turns out, I'm not afraid to say no. I can't. I need a little bit of pablum before I kind of... Right? Just not afraid. Listen, maybe it's because I'm getting older now. I'm just not afraid to say it. I am a weak man. I just need to be built up and understand. So we logically want to help each other be built up in the faith. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Fundamentals, frameworks. So why fundamentals of the faith? This term has two goals. And again, you can see this is going to be a bit redundant, because you've mentioned some of this already, but just to solidify it in your mind. One, the goal could be to serve as a discipleship course. If you're new to Westmount, some of you are, right? You're young in the faith, or you've been never taught the fundamentals of the faith, right? So maybe you fit into one of those. Or two, as we've already commented, a booster course for those that have taken this before. Daniels and Englars, you're going to see, you're walking into a course that looks quite different to when you took it, because it's organic. Let me give you one example. Pandemic changed everything. You're like, I'm sick of hearing that. But it did. It just exposed our, maybe, the holes in our ecclesiology. I remember that hit me when someone said, yeah, I saw someone got baptized, they had a meme baptism. And I'm like, okay, we've lost the whole thing. No, it's a true story. I know. So this is where we realize, wait a minute, how does one get to a point where they think they can break bread and be baptized digitally and be okay with that? Mm-hmm. One thing I might submit is this. We just need the fundamentals of the, what is the doctrine of the church? So the four of you are going to see me now do 9 lessons in what is the church? And we have to. I'll give you another example. People walk in, they're like, what in the world are you doing up there? Like, you're singing these psalms, Everything seems so solemn, like I'm in at a funeral. What's going on, right? And they want to know what, I don't think so, but anyway, people will say that, right? So we take a whole class where we walk through why we do what we do and show you biblically what it isn't. Is David and Jason sat in a corner and thought, you know what, this is really good. This is the way we love to do, right? And I think people think, no, we hope we can show you biblically every piece from the call to worship to the benediction, why it's right in God's word. So these are important. Being in this class allows you to gain that understanding and knowledge, to ask questions. Please poke holes in us. Please do that. I mean, we need it. So what will we learn systematically? Bibliology, and hopefully, I know for me, I was a young Christian. I'm like, I hear these terms, I don't even know what they mean. I'll just say, like, I don't know what they mean. So, help. Bibliology, the study of the Bible. By the way, all these, to put these two together for you, logology, from the word logos, right, which means word. So everything is just being tied to that, as a Greek word tied to that. So the Bible, the word of the Bible, the study of the Bible, like a knowledge of the Bible. Theology proper, that's the study of God. And we say that proper just because it's broad. Not just God the Father, but we include the doctrine of the Trinity in there as well, too. So theology proper, we have a lesson on that, or a few on that. Christology, the study of Jesus Christ. Soteriology, just the Greek word soter, or save, that's where that comes from, soteriology. Pneumatology, again, Greek word for spirit. Pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. And ecclesiology, Greek word for church, the study of the church. Those are just examples of things we're going to cover that we can get away on us, right? And it's good to shore those up together. We also insert, and this is necessary these days, topics. Next week, we're going to get into surveys of the Bible. I remember years ago, someone say, open up to the book of Zephaniah. And I'd be like, where is that? I know it's in the Old Testament somewhere. I don't know where. And why is it there? And why do these prophets have language that just seems so out there? It's either judgment or something God will do in the distance. So we're going to learn about that. Why is that? What's going on in the prophets, right? We need to know that. And then a New Testament survey. I think we're in our New Testament a lot, but it's good to put them together. We're going to talk about the spiritual gifts, what they are, what we believe here at Westmount. We'll talk about that actually this morning. Lord's Day service, I've commented on that. Church governance as well. Prayer, baptism, Lord's table, the ordinances, evangelism, obedience, and God's will. You can see it's not just straight systematic theology in one sense. Systematic theology, or theology at all. If you just let it sit in there, you're like the Dead Sea, right? It just sits there. In one sense, it's meaningless. It has to come out, right? And that's how you know, right? It's applied. So that's why we get into things like obedience and God's will. I learned something about Jesus Christ today. If I did, it should impact how I live the rest of the day. Is that not true? Now, not on some grand scale, but in some maybe very small way, right? So what is involved? So this is the textbook. You new folks have that. It's $10, as you guys know. We gladly help with those because this is a good thing. We ask you to do this, right? It's a good accountability to pay for a book, to have the book. But this is your great help in this class. The classes are springing out of core lessons here. Now, we're not going to repeat everything that you've done. And in fact, if you've done it a few MULOCs, you probably noticed this. Like, well, you're deviating more and more from what's in there. And that's good. Because that we don't want you to come in here and just, I'm going to regurgitate the same thing that you just did. But it gives us a spring-off point. These 13 lessons are a springboard to what we're going to learn. But to complete the course, to actually do the course, this is what's involved. We will begin next week. Blake is going to hand out some quizzes to you. And you would think, wow, if you're new, and I think this might, for me, that would trigger some sort of heat emotion in me, right? Some sort of quiz. This is a pre-quiz. Now, this might inflame it even more, because this is not a test to see how much you don't know about this particular doctrine. And I've said this before, I know class redundant, but it's so important. We need to know where the class is at when we push in as teachers on particular things. So that's what it is. Next week, Blake's going to give you the quiz for lesson one. And it's not a design to, you know, did you remember everything Jason said in the opening class? That's not what this is. It's where are you at with the theology of the Bible, right? And it'll help me and it'll help the teachers press it. I tell the class all the time, don't give this, don't labor over this, right? Yes, your name may be on it, aghast, right? You may think, oh man, I should know this. Don't worry. Don't worry. Listen, we're all there, and we need to kind of just shred that immediately. Workbooks, the homework, to do the homework of them, I'm going to come back to that in a moment, so we'll keep those two together. Memory verses are for your edification and blessing. Now, we do incent that. If you're new to this class, you'll know, yes, sometimes we do give out rewards, right? We do incent for that, and we're not ashamed of that, Janine.
Is the memory verse on the first quiz?
Good question. I think it might be. I don't know, Janine. I don't actually don't really know. You're asking a good question. It would be good to know it. In fact, the rewards got so hot at times, I've had one or two people come to me and say, I thought you were doing a quiz today. I got it memorized for this game. I love it. I love a little bit of that. The competitive juices in me, I appreciate that. But listen, God's word says, Psalm 119, what? I've stored up your word in my heart so that... Who's sin against you? I don't know about you. The knowledge of God's word, not that there's a lot of it in there, has helped me in crucial moments, right? Crucial, crucial moments. So use that, lean into that as a help. And then the supplementary sermon, they're very, very good. You'll see them in the book. And there's a GTY site that has them all there, all 13 sermons. So do that. So make it a holistic endeavor. And that's what the course is. Memorizing scripture, right? Doing the homework and the quizzes and so on. All right, any questions on that? And again, just want to stress too, the workbooks and homework. Again, we're not legislating and enforcing, but it is true to really and truly say you've completed fundamentals, you've done the workbook lessons in each one. If you guys have done like 3 or 4 times, that would be right. So that's, and it's for your help, right? Do you see that? This is not, you know, we have this thing that we need to do at Westmount. We want you to gain everything out of this course that you can. So when we say, have you completed fundamentals? And the other thing too is, let me say this. Oh, you're going to hate me. We suggest, and Mulox, we've talked about this too, and many of you, I mean, Dylan, you're sitting in here again. Adriel, we talked about this week. Really, to take it twice. When I study for Sunday, I don't know about you. I mean, Mike, I don't know, maybe it's different with different study habits. I need to read what I'm doing twice. And I'll tell you, the second time, I'm like, what was that? I thought I read it, and I didn't. The second time, it's like a tsunami that's coming over me. I'm like, aha, okay, I put all the things start firing. So it sounds like for many, there's some stream of that. And you know what? Repetition is good. So the second time we say, yeah, we suggest that strongly. Are we going to have, again, Ryan taser you if you show up in frameworks and you only took it once? We might do that. That'd be fun. No, we would not do that. We would not do that. Not at all. No, we're just saying these are things we want to help you, right? We want to help you with that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense so far, guys, in terms of format and what's important? Please, again, push back. You wouldn't be the first, so don't be afraid to do that. All right, let's get into our first lesson. We have half. That's perfect. We have half an hour left. We'll get into, we're just opening this up. We'll have more to say next week. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. You're in 1 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy 3. We're going to look now at the doctrine of bibliology, the study of the Bible, the study of the Word of God. So maybe, Adriel, when you're there, if you can read this for me, and I'm going to have you start 14 to 17. 14 to
17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from a childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for good, for every good work.
So let's zone in on what Adriel just read there. Look at verse 16. I want you to zone in on that for a moment. Look at this key phrase here. All scripture is breathed out by God, says the word of God. Now the benefit you have in this class this morning is we're literally going to be talking about this from the front this morning as well. So this just kind of primes the pump. But I would love, and I need the fresh dose of this often, let us return to the esteem that this should have, okay? This is God breathed. Not a soundbite on the news, not what Dylan thinks is wise wisdom. In your hand, you have the privilege, saint, to have the God-breathed word. Does that make sense? Now, let me ask you something. By any objective measure, if I told you, God exists and he's spoken to you, do you want to know what he has to say? What would you say?
Yes.
So what's the logical implication?
Go to the word of God.
You have it. Don't go seeking for the distant voice in the mall. Don't go looking for spirits and gods under every rock. Read the word of God. Passed down from the ages. All scripture is breathed out by God. This is the sure thing. We'll see that this morning. 2 Peter 1. The apostles say, we saw him on the mountain. And you know what? You have the sure word in your hand right there. You can hear from God every day. Multiple times a day. Isn't it beautiful? You can hear from him. So this is our foundation in this class. What God has said to us. Okay? God is knowable, and this is amazing. I mean, let's just be honest, it doesn't blow us away. Can we just be honest? We are far too underwhelmed when I say God is knowable and intends to be known. Maybe Jack says, that's amazing, God, I could know. You can know him! God says you can know me, and I'm going to reveal myself to you, and here's the vehicle. Genesis 1:1, he opens that up, right? Let's confess, we are far too underwhelmed by that. Jason, what's the next slide? Mm-hmm. Right? God is knowable. He's knowable. He wants you to know him. Right? Does that make sense? Amazing. And he's made himself known. Hebrews 1 says this clear. He sent the prophets to reveal him, who he is, his character. And what are the two big things in the prophets? Justice, see judgment, and mercy. Take Isaiah, you can split Isaiah in half. You deserve to be judged. You have transgressed my commandment. You have forsaken me. But I am a merciful God. If you would repent and turn to me, I will give you mercy. I will not give you what you're due. What a message for people created in God's image. Now I know you don't have to audible amen this. When you know you've transgressed and you know what you deserve, that you can go to a God who says, I will give you mercy if you repent and turn to me. One of the glorious things I get to say today is that there is no sin outside the scope of God's mercy. One of the sweetest things I get to do, try to restrain the emotion. When people sit, tears flow, you don't understand what I've done, and how could God forgive me? I don't need to know what you've done. Because I can pull out my scroll and you'd be aghast. But I know this. If you repent and forsake that and turn to him, you can receive what? Mercy and forgiveness. Right? Amazing things. So that is what we're talking about. That's the God who has made himself known that we want to know. Right? Think about that. We want to know. Thus, God is not hidden, silent, or distant, but he created time and space and entered it. He condescended to us. He created time, he created space so that he could enter it to meet his creatures. That's our God, right? That's our God. God is an infinitely personal God. I don't know if anyone here knows, not that we should, but I remember learning about the God of Islam. It's a very distant, fickle, unappeased God, right? I mean, all the words that I'm searching for, but nothing like the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God who is majestic and holy and fills every corner of this earth with his omnipresence, but yet is so imminent, right, to indwell his creatures and live with them. Just an astounding truth of our God. And one of the ways that he draws that intimacy out is through the word of God. Dylan.
It reminds me of a true statement that can totally be butchered completely. I was told Christianity, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. No, I think it is a religion for one.
Right.
Two, you can get into a dangerous ground of the personal relationship where it's, you know, we get the often words, so, well, you can't say that, or you can't tell me I'm doing wrong. It's, well, that's what you think. It's just me and Jesus, right?
Right.
So, is that how we would about clarify that? It could be.
Yeah, I think, Dylan, that's excellent. I've heard that many times, and listen, here's a little diagnostic for you. There are many pithy sayings that have sustained because they sound awesome. I don't have to subscribe to religion. I subscribe to a relationship. That just sounds great. Let go and let God just sounds great. All of those sound great, and I'm here to say there's truth in them. Right? Yes. Relationship, but Dylan, you nailed it. This is a religion. I mean, it's true religion, says James, contrasted to false religion. Well, religion has rules, and you know what we say? Yes, it does. Holy God created a standard of terms, and we must live by them. No, I know. You can't say that today, right? You can't say that. Who are you, Matt, to say that I should be living by this standard? Right? That's insane. So, Dylan, you're right. And you can see here the moderation, really the truth, grace and truth, is the antidote to these things. Yes. Yes, it is a religion. Yes, we have a relationship. Let's talk about what those mean. Because we know what it means when they say that. Really good. Really good. Clay?
Another question going back to God has made himself known and wants us to know him. Will we ever fully understand who he is or how he thinks, I guess? Because he is the holy God. And since we are sinful creatures, will we ever know the entirety of God?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if we knew the entirety of God, I'll answer it this way, Clay. My first response to that is, I don't know. But logically, as I work through that, to know God in totality would place us in some degree on an equal footing kind of with God. So I love how you're thinking that through. The other thing I would say to support that I don't think we'll fully know him is when Paul in Romans 11, he builds toward this argument to say it's unscrutable, unsearchable. We can't know the depths of God. Now, will we come to Clay a fullness or a perfection in our humanity of seeing God face to face, 1 Corinthians 13, right? When we die and we're in his presence? Absolutely. Will it be Paul and Moses and we have all these questions to ask them? I don't even know about that.
That's true.
You don't even, we all have that. Paul, tell me what you were thinking with this thing. But I think to answer your question, Clay, I would say I don't know, but I'm leaning, I would just say no. I don't think, and that's because God is God. And I think, this is, I'm going to jump off your question and say, our troubles, my troubles, begin when I claim to know things about God that I can't know. If you're going to learn in this class, for example, God is sovereign, but man is responsible. And people say to me all the time, well, no, you're one of those churches where God is sovereign and in control of all things. You don't believe that man has free will. I'm like, whoa. We do. Just don't try and harmonize them perfectly in your minds because that's God's business, right? Now we'll get to that. I don't want to do that. But Clay, I would say, I don't think that we can because God is God alone. That's an excellent question. Yeah, we got to your John and then
Lisa. The other reason would be is that we can never be equal to God.
Yeah.
Right? God's always higher than we will ever be.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good. Yeah, Lisa.
No, I was just going to say for an encouragement, you know, you can't fully know God. We can't fully know God. But as we read his word, as we grow in maturity, as God changes our hearts, we will know him more. And that's the encouragement and the hope as you read the word.
Yeah.
Because then it would be hopeless, right, if you didn't get to know God. So you'll know him as much as God wants you to know him and just keep reading the word and you'll just mature.
That's really helpful, John and Elise. In fact, Clay, that was helpful for me. I'll put those two together. just because we very likely, and I'd almost come down firmly and say we wouldn't know God totally, doesn't mean we can't grow with the knowledge of Him. And I think that's a really important point. And that's what God wants for each one of us, to grow in the knowledge of Him. That we wouldn't remain as infants in our understanding. That makes sense. Really good, Clay. Excellent. He is not distant. Again, we talked about that, but I got a relationship, Dylan. Thank you for that. God is a God of fellowship with the person of simple faith, right? He's the God of, think about this, simple faith. You can think of many saints that I know, some have now gone to pass. Listen, they wouldn't be the most eloquent readers or speakers, but just a simple, this is what it comes down to, a bedrock trust in God. I don't care how many letters are after your name. You guys, I hope you know this about me. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how many verses you can quote off the top of your head. If you don't trust God for all things, then there's a problem. Yeah, but I know all the broad, I didn't memorize it. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the simple faith says, if the world comes off its axis, all is okay, because I know who God is. Right? Wonderful. Some of you know Jeremy been up at the hospital with his wife, and some of you are testifying, Jerry, we were talking about that. And I see it with the nurses. I go in there. One actually saying, are you actually her husband? I.e., you're not freaking out. No, that was literally, like, we don't see that. You get into ICU and they're like, ah! You know, like, everyone's just like, man, Jeremy, just calm, swollen eyes. He's human. God has this. I don't. Simple faith. Simple faith, right? Sometimes we sit there, we're not doing a lesson in the hospital room. We just sit. Right? And know that God is, and He has it. So listen, God is the God of fellowship with a person of simple faith. There's no Phariseeism here, right? Now, that doesn't mean, on your point, Elisa, it doesn't mean it's like, yeah, that's all He wants, and we don't grow in knowledge. No, 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 no. We have sloth in us, don't we? We love our leisure, don't we? And we have to fight that. We have to fruit ninja that thing and get it out of there, and we have to just say, no, I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn. Does that make sense? And we've looked at that. All right. All right. God draws near. This is another great Exodus 3. Do you remember God came down? God, He comes near to Moses, right? He calls him up the mountain, but He comes near in the burning bush. And that's your God, as He does in the Word of God. So, I'm going to pick it up a little bit here and talk about Revelation. These are the two facets of this we need to talk about before the end of class. What is Revelation? Let me give you a definition, especially if you're taking notes. An uncovering, making seen or known something once unseen and unknown. That's what Revelation is. Wonderful illustration of the waiter that comes in, right? Picture the French waiter, and he's got the silver piece. He is about to reveal the dish of the day, right? I think that's Revelation. Something you didn't know, someone knew, right? And now it's going to be made known to you. That's Revelation, an uncovering. And that's what the Word of God is. An uncovering of who God is. And not only who He is, but His plan. So, Revelation. Now, think with me, class. Again, I want to keep it simple. We can look at that in two ways. Revelation is given to us in two ways. And we can think this through logically. The first one is generally, right? Because who made heaven and earth? God, right? God made heaven and earth. So when we talk about general revelation, it's the non-verbal, really important, disclosing of God's existence and perfections to all people by means of nature, conscience, and history. Let me just, I'm not trying to test you, but just what, is there a verse that comes to mind or a passage in Scripture that you can think of that affirms this truth? A place in Scripture, maybe. What do you think in Scripture? It affirms that all creation, right?
The rocks cry out.
What's that?
Even the rocks cry out.
Yeah, even the rocks cry out. Jesus said that. That's good in His ministry. Yep. Even the rocks are going to cry out and give worship. There's a teaching further in the New Testament where it just lays it down. God has revealed Himself in creation. We're going to go there in a moment. I just wanted to see if you guys know.
Did you say Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created.
Yeah, Genesis 1. Okay, so hang on to that. We're going to come to where it is. But keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. The teaching is that God is revealing Himself non-verbally through means of nature, conscience, and history. So keep that in mind. General revelation is revelation that's accessible, this is important, to all people at all times. The Moabite, right? The wandering Pharisee, Uncle Bob, right? Your colleague Jack, everyone, general revelation is unleashed, right? I remember talking to an atheist once, and it's just so good when you're talking to a proclaimed atheist. It's like, okay, so I just want to make sure, and again, I wasn't trying to seal the deal. When you look up at the intention and creation, you look at the sun's out, you're saying, I want to make sure you're clear, it's all an accident. It doesn't, the way creation is put together, if I understand you right, Simon, it's all an accident. And they just let that sit. It's all an accident. It's not coming from them. No. Deep down, every human being, and we're going to see the passage it says this, knows that there's a God. You can't help but look out, right, and say that. In fact, general revelation should cause this response. This is why when we sing songs like this, what are we singing? Obvious truth, doesn't it?
Is it simply just saying there is no God and admittance that there is, and you're saying there isn't?
Yeah, in one sense, Dustin, we could say that. Because that same person is going to appeal to what's right and wrong. And you get into that and say, okay, but you claim a morality. If you're an atheist, there should be no such thing as morality, right? So Dustin, yeah, when they get into those conversations, they're admitting something which they don't want to realize on the front end.
Yeah, Bill. It's like when I had a conversation with someone, an atheist in college, so he was complaining about gossiping about someone who did a very bad deed. I agreed with, yeah, that's a bad deed.
Yeah.
And I just asked him, well, why is that bad?
Exactly.
Because of this. Like, why? Because of this. Why? Because of it. And then we got to a point where he just couldn't back up. Why?
Yeah, I mean, Dylan and Dustin, it's the same. And you see it. And our struggle will be to be gracious and patient. And don't do, I've shared this in class many times, don't do what I did as a young Christian. I'm like thrusting Bibles on them. I'm pushing them. I'm dogging them around the office halls. Awful, awful. Oh, I cringe. You don't do that. You don't need to seal the deal. Leave the pebble in the shoe and walk away, right? Like, just say, whatever that is, and walk away. Especially if it's a colleague, you have a baked-in opportunity to come back to it all the time, right? So, anyway, good stuff. General revelation. We know that's not the response. Go to Romans 1 and 2. That's what I was referring to. Romans 1 and 2, what does that say? Someone read Romans 1, 8 to 25 on creation, and someone else grab, okay, Elisa, and someone grab Romans 2, 14 to 15. He's got that adjusted, okay, for conscience. So go ahead, Elisa.
God's wrath on the earth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of the likeness of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
All right, great. That passage says really two things. What do you grab from there? What's Paul communicating in those verses there?
That even these people, they would know of a God, they know God, but they just simply do not want to worship him. Or they would worship the creation rather than the Creator, and that's simply seen modern day, and whether it be save the environment, save the earth, save the trees, save the animals. That's in a religion by itself.
Yeah, Dylan, very good. So the second part is absolutely true. We're going to come back to that. They want to worship the created rather than the Creator. But even before that, Dylan, you hinted at it. Look at verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been what? Clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. In other words, God has revealed himself generally. There is enough revelation in this creation to say God exists. And then, Dylan, on your second point, the problem is mankind has refused to respond to God the way they should. And that still plagues us today. Even as Christians, doesn't it? In our moments of sin, we say, I refuse to respond to you, God, the way I should. In fact, Christian, if you're honest, you have your moments of defiance. I know the cost. I know what it is. I'm going to do this. I will not respond to you the way that I should. Because this is a juicy morsel of gossip. Because this is something I want to look at. Right? That's what we do today. So this is not just a pagan thing. Right? This is a mankind problem. But as Dylan said, right? This is, what do we do instead? We want to turn to the creation. One of the other reasons why we turn to creation. Creation doesn't hold us accountable, does it? Right? Creation doesn't hold us accountable. That's why it's safe to do that. Well, it doesn't hold us accountable. Who was reading 2:14-15? Is it? Who was that? Yeah, Dustin, thank you.
For when Gentiles, who do not have a law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law unto to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them.
So this is for the Gentiles. And what does Paul say there? What's true about morality for every single one of us? What did he just say? Where is it?
Written in your heart.
Written
in your heart.
Yeah.
I remember that. One of the things when I was an unbeliever, it was a pebble in the shoe that got me to that point. C.S. Lewis, first chapter of Mere Christianity, talks about, right, Matt gets up, leaves, right, he goes to the bathroom, and I just take a seat. He said, get out of Matt's seat. Right? Why? Do you say, it's a morality. I want to take your wallet because I need food. And my morality, right? There's something in all of us. We know what's right and wrong. This is the, one of you said this. What's happening in the world today is a resistance and a suppression to that truth and the consequences of suppressing that truth. That's why a Supreme Court judge can say, I don't know what a woman is. It's the consequences of suppressing the truth, right? Do you see our problem? And so we have enough revelation to know who God is and to know how we should live. But we don't respond the right way. That's just general revelation. Love it. Think about the trouble humanity is in when we can't respond to general revelation the way that we should. But that's not all. So we have revelation, generally. Now let's look at it specifically, right? Specifically. What do we mean by specific revelation? Is given for particular people at particular times. Someone grab Hebrews 1:1-2. Who's got that? Hebrews 1:1-2. Someone can read that for us. Elisa. And then Adriel, Romans 16:26. Go for it when you have it. Both read it back to back.
So, God having spoken long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days spoke to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds.
Okay. But has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith.
So what are we hearing there between what Elisa read and Adriel read? What is the testimony both in Hebrews and in Romans? There are writings. There are specific revelation that is given through prophets of old, through the Son now, to bring about the obedience of faith. Right? It is not enough to say, well, God just is, and in creation you should know all the tenets of how to live out a moral life like God. That's not what it is. You have enough to know that God exists, and the question should be, I want to turn to you, I want to worship you, and maybe how? We have revelation, right? It gives us the specific piece on that. Of old, remember, through the theophanies, those are appearances of God. Think about your Old Testament, the patriarchs. We'll be looking at this in Genesis. Dreams and visions, signs and wonders and angels, right? Think about Israel with the Exodus, right? The pillar of fire. Think about what Isaiah saw, what Mary saw. at specific times and places, right, God revealed himself very directly to a patriarch, to a saint, right? And that's in Hebrews, right, what Elisa, you read. That's the point. Of old, he revealed himself this way. But now it's through Jesus Christ, and that's important. We'll come back to that. Specific revelation is given to us now. Think about today. And you can see, by the way, the confusion. Think about this, Hebrews 1, 1-2. This is how he did it of old. What would you say? Like, I want that now. I want God to speak to me in a dream. Do I have anyone there? Like, I want God to just speak very clearly to me in a dream. No, I actually want God to appear to me in a pillar of fire today. I want that. The problem is that's not the economy of God, is it? What did Hebrews 1 go on to say? But now, that's how he did it of old. But now, through Jesus Christ, and what is Jesus Christ he came to do? What did he tell his disciples in the upper room, his teaching? The specific revelation. He said, I'm going to leave you, but when I leave you, I'm going to leave a Holy Spirit to do what? The Holy Spirit's going to do what? Reveal that truth to you. You're going to write it down. You're going to pass it on to the church. That's what they need. Right. 2 Timothy 1, 13-14. Who has that? 2 Timothy 1. Okay, Elisa, again, thank you. 2 Timothy 3. Adriel, that's what you read off the top. Yeah, Dylan, if you could read that. Good reminders for us as we land this plane.
Hold to the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you.
Excellent. Yeah. 2 Timothy 3.
But you continue in the things you learn and become convicted of them, knowing whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped of every good work.
Look again at 2 Timothy 1:13. Follow the pattern of the sound words. 2 Timothy 3, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. Paul is appealing to the church, to people in the early church. There is a body of words of revelation that is your authority. Not the burning subjective thing in your bosom, right? Not what you think it would be. All of these things, we need to say this, right? Not what you think, what should be this. Follow the pattern of this concrete thing. Follow that. Does that make sense? This is what he's saying. Because now, think about this. Israelite, Gentile, you have general revelation. He says, I know there's a God, I need to respond to him, and now I have the how. In the specific, see how God works? Revelation, he's revealing himself to you, saint, generally, right? And now specifically. How do I live my week? The Bible, the authority of our faith and practice, indeed. One divine author, the Holy Spirit given through different human writers. 2 Peter 1, I'm going to leave that, not only for time, but we're going to be beginning, or shortly with that, from the front. And you're going to see that this is basically what we're going to talk about in a moment. God communicated through men by way of their context and human struggle. Isn't that amazing when you read the Psalms? David was on the run, he was struggling, he was suffering, and yet God speaks through that to give us revelation. So both human and divine, when we think about the pen there, but they are inspired words. Just for notes, you don't have time to go through all of this, but Psalm 19... I could just, if you turn there quickly, I don't have time again to go through all of it. A wonderful psalm that shows you, and I just want to show this to you before we close, both general revelation and specific revelation. Scan with me, look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Look at that language all the way down to 6. Creation is proclaiming and saying something to you, human being, right? General revelation. Do you see that? 1-6. But then what happens in 7? Look at the specificity. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
And what does it do? It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord, look, the words again, is sure, making wise the simple and all the way down. So Psalm 19, keep that in your back pocket. You see revelation, generally, first few verses, specifically, with the law of the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's how God operates, right? That's how he has revealed himself. Generally and specifically in the Word of God. And it should esteem your approach to God's Word. You are taking the beautiful sunset you would have seen or sunrise this morning, right? The wonderful things that you see in nature, and you're mapping them specifically, right, to the Word of God. And not only that, to map, we end with this. Scripture is given to know God and be transformed. Elisa, you alluded to this. This is not just to be a smarter Christian. Mm-hmm. It's not to win debates, right? We've been given Scripture to know God and be transformed by Him. I was talking to someone this week about this. I mean, I don't know if you ever feel hopeless. Sometimes we can feel hopeless and futile with what's going on in our lives. But God is in the business of change. And He gives His Word, His Holy Spirit. He changes us. You're never stuck in that place. It's a wonderful thing. So knowing God's Word is a means of transformation. Well, let's end with this. Romans 12. We've read Colossians 1 already. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 to 2.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Wasn't that, Julie? That puts it all together, doesn't it? Place your body, yourself, before the Lord. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you do that? Think about Hebrews 5, testing things by way of the Word of God. What's good, what's right, what's perfect. All right, recap as we're done. These are the important things to take away today. Number one, God has made Himself known. And you can rejoice in that today. Maybe as you go to bed tonight, add this to your prayers. Praise you, God, that you've made yourself known. Right? We've talked about Revelation, the two streams, generally, right? We're going to recap this next week, right? I'll at least do that. And specifically, right? One sentence, what's general revelation? Who wants to tackle that as we close? Clay?
General revelation is Him revealing Himself to us by way of nature or things created.
Awesome. And specific revelation?
Through His Word.
Through His Word. Excellent. Very specific time and place. And Scripture's given to know God and to be transformed. Right? Not to be smarter, but to know God and be transformed. Next week, we're going to begin on an Old Testament survey. We're going to go through the Old Testament, again, not drilling into everything, but to get us more comfortable with our Old Testament. Let me pray. We hear the saints gathering there. Let's join them. Father, we thank you for the blessing of time and your word, learning and growing and being equipped together, Lord. Help us as we either for the first time consider these things or be renewed in them. Father, we do pray not only for the rest of this day and this class, that you would help us. But now as we join the saints in corporate worship, work your Spirit and your will in us through that, Lord, as we commit that time to you now. In Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Jason.
You guys, great.